The text for this morning is the Old Testament lesson read from the lectern. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us all. Amen. From a pericope standpoint, my text this morning is inappropriate. I think the Samuel episode popped up in the lectionary last January sometime. Nor did the director of worship assign it for today. But from a topical approach, the Samuel episode is most appropriate. The traditional applications of this text fit this audience to a T. Samuel's frequent reply to God's call, "Here am I," climaxing in "Speak, for thy servant heareth," suggests three obvious applications. A readiness to obey God, that's one of them, certainly appropriate to our everyday life. A readiness to hear and learn God's word, that's another. And that's what Sem life is mostly about, isn't it? And finally, a readiness to serve God. Well, call day isn't that long ago. Those are the customary applications of the Samuel story. Take any of them, or all of the above. The more, the merrier. And please consider them preached. Most of us aren't used to applications at the start of a sermon. They're supposed to come at the end. And we're even less accustomed to applications apart from the gospel that makes those applications come true. You and I are not going to obey God. You and I are not going to hear and learn his word. And you and I are not going to serve him in our ministry unless the gospel comes to our rescue. Without that gospel, we'll run around as aimlessly as Samuel did in our text. So, where's the gospel? Strangely, that gospel seems as scarce in our text as those messages and visions of the Lord were scarce back in Israel, according to verse 1. Oh, with a little typological stretching, we can derive gospel from exploring the significance of the items verse 3 mentions, the ark of God, the temple of God, and the lamp of God. The intimacy between God and Samuel is another possibility for gospel. God's talking to Samuel one-on-one can ultimately only derive from the person and work of Christ, making such intimacy possible. Verse 7 seems to provide the best exegetical opportunity for gospel. It reads, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." In a sort of a peculiar negative way, that verse reminds us of two aspects of the gospel. First, that we can't know God unless he makes himself known to us through Jesus Christ. And therefore, second, that salvation is all of his doing and none of ours. So far, the gospel in our text. Word order. Word order might suggest another route to gospel. "Here am I," says Samuel in our King James Version. Modern translations turn this around. They have Samuel saying, "Here I am." So what? What's the difference? Both are accurate. Both denote the same thing. But oh, how different the connotations. Word order does make a difference. Albany's great line in King Lear is a case in point. In the afterglow of a great military victory, Albany temporarily forgets that his king and the king's daughter are still in an enemy prison. "Great thing of us forgot," cries Albany, by way of acknowledging his oversight. "Great thing of us forgot?" I suppose Albany could have used normal word order, such as "we" or "I forgot something very important." But Shakespeare knew better than to have Albany say it that way. So it is in our text. "Here I am" could sound like a well-hidden person revealing his place of concealment in a game of hide-and-seek. But "here am I," now that's got class. It just oozes with readiness for obedience and learning and service. The minute well-trained Lutherans hear this statement, "here am I," they almost automatically add, "send me, send me," as they unconsciously call to mind Isaiah's magnificent vision of God in the temple. God's question at the time, "whom shall I send?" And Isaiah's response, "here am I, send me." But to get to our gospel point, that question and answer in Isaiah chapter 6 are immediately preceded by the passage about the live coal God applies to Isaiah's lips, purging away his sins. Fabulous gospel, imported for our text this morning from the remote scriptural context and tapped by our collective unconscious because of the memorable inverted word order that Isaiah uses. "Here am I." Or to be predictable, how about a gospel handle? In this case, the conventional word order, "here I am," turns out to be the more viable. Let the puny "I ams" of Samuel and Isaiah call to mind that God who majestically revealed himself to Moses as "I am that I am." Let the timid "I ams" of Samuel and Isaiah bring to mind the bold assertions of our Lord. "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the door, I am the vine, I am the good shepherd." Each of them in a different and unique way, supplying the gospel we so desperately need this morning to make good our individual resolves to obey God, to hear and learn his word, and to serve him in our respective ministries. You see, it is our Lord's "I ams" that empower our "here I ams." Push it even farther. Juxtapose Samuel's "here I am" with the angel's contrasting announcement at the empty tomb. "He is not here." The resurrection of Jesus, the climactic gospel moment in history, the white-hot center of the good news, without which, Paul reminds us, all our preaching and all our faith and all our labor would be in vain. We're talking resurrection power. That's what we've got going for us. That triumphant cry, "He is not here," on a Sunday morning of long ago, puts teeth into our response this morning, "Here am I. Speak, for thy servant heareth." Amen.